Take your Bibles. We're going to be in Romans chapter 10 this morning. And we are going to attempt to finish chapter 10 today. We looked at verses 14 and 15 last week, and we're going to try to work our way through verse 16 down through verse 21 and try to be sensitive to our time today. We do want to take a few minutes at the end of our service, again, to bring you up to speed on where we are with the kids campus building and all that we have been talking about, and want to update you on that. By the way, if you are here, maybe you didn't bring a Bible with you today. Oh, that did not come up very well, and I can't read it. Page 976, though, if you need a pew Bible, they're there for you in the pew. If you don't have a copy of Scripture with you, we're going to be looking at Romans 10, and you can find that on page 976 today. Romans chapter 10, we are in the middle of this journey looking at Paul's description and explanation of where the nation of Israel fits in this New Testament age, talking about their relationship to the gospel, their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that had been taking place in the midst of this sort of transition period, working from the Old Testament dispensation under the law, and now the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, have greatly rejected the gospel. They have not put their faith in Christ. And so Paul is working through some of the dynamics of this relationship with now the Gentiles coming in to be a part of the local body of Christ, the church body. And Paul is trying to describe that relationship with them. And last week we looked at verses 14 and 15, and just to briefly remind us of what we talked about last week, Paul wrote these words in verse 14. How then, shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Understanding that as Paul wrote these verses, he's building off verse 13 that Paul had already said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so last week we looked at the truth that the gospel, first of all, must be proclaimed. The gospel of Christ must be preached. And Paul went through this progression, if you will, beginning with this call for someone to be sent, someone that would go out and be sent as a proclaimer of the gospel, as a herald, if you will, of the good news of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and he says that they should preach the message. They should proclaim the gospel. And then he talked about in verse 14 the necessity of hearing the gospel and then responding to the gospel by faith. And that faith was necessary for one to come to Christ and to become a part of this New Testament church. And he says that whosoever would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. And so he is calling people, us, New Testament church, to be proclaimers of the gospel. Now what we want to do is move on to verses 16 and 17, where Paul says this, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember that Paul is trying to understand, try to get the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, to understand that their general rejection of the gospel, the fact that they have not believed, they have not put their faith in Christ, where did the responsibility lie? Was the responsibility somewhere with God? Was God culpable? Was it God's fault that these Jewish people were not believing? Paul now says that the gospel must center on Christ. And so he brings these truths out. He says in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then verse 18, he says, but I say, have they not heard? That's a question. Has Israel not heard the gospel? Have they not believed because they have not heard? And then he's going to answer that with a very strong proclamation. And he says in verse 18, yes, they have heard. It's not a matter that God has not sent messengers to the nation of Israel. It is not that God has not sent proclaimers and heralds to the people. The problem is that they, while they have heard, they have failed to believe. And so Paul demonstrates that this process that he outlined for us in verses 14 and 15, this process has been followed when it comes to the nation of Israel, and yet he says in verse 18, yet they have not believed. They have failed to respond to the gospel. They have not responded to the truth that they had heard. This rejection took place in the days even of Isaiah. Notice again that he quotes Isaiah, and he says that, Isaiah saith in verse 16, who hath believed our report? All the way quoting that from Isaiah 53. We know that Isaiah 53 was that very familiar passage where Isaiah outlined for us the coming Messiah, the one that would be crucified. And yet Paul goes back to quote Isaiah 53:1, and he says that this rejection of the gospel in a very real sense was foreshadowed by Isaiah all the way back in Isaiah chapter 53. In the context of Isaiah 53, as I mentioned, is the suffering servant, the suffering Lord. And just as Isaiah had lamented that the message was not received, now Paul laments the fact that the Jewish nation has not also believed. I think when I read verses 16 and 17, I accidentally read 17 and 18. He says again in verse 16, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And Paul is going to remind them and remind us that salvation is not centered on the goodness of God. It is not centered on the merits of mankind. The gospel is centered on Jesus Christ, on the finished work of Christ. He is talking about the necessity of these people to respond to what they have believed. Now, it's interesting. We think about the gospel message. We think about the proclamation of the gospel and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. He says at the end of verse 17 that hearing comes by the word of God. It comes by hearing the scriptures proclaimed. It comes by hearing the scriptures preached. Now that is an important element of the gospel going forward, because we have to understand that the gospel does not spontaneously arise from within a person. Hearing the gospel being proclaimed to them by a faithful herald or proclaimer of the gospel is indispensable for one to come to faith in Christ. And notice that Paul says that this proclaiming, verse 17, has to be by the word of God. It has to come from the words of Christ. Now, we live in a day and age, you know as well as I know, that it's not anything new, but in our age, we often have people who have itching ears to hear another gospel, to hear something that is not based on Scripture, something that is not based on biblical truth. Remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There is a very real warning throughout Scripture against false teaching, against those that would preach another gospel. They would preach something that was not based, as Paul says in verse 17, on the word of God. It is based on the opinion of men, or it is based on philosophy. It is built on psychology. It's built on whatever man-made ideology someone comes up with. And he says, no, it has to be proclaimed from the word of God. Now think about in our day alone, the appeal of the health and wealth gospel, the social gospel, that salvation is found through social action, or even universalism. I was talking with a man not too long ago, about a year or so ago, and he basically said, I've grown up around Christianity, and I just believe that at the end of the day, We're all going to end up in heaven. It doesn't really matter what we believe. Christianity is just my way to get there. But there's nothing unique about Christianity. My friend, that is heresy. That goes against the very scriptures and the very proclamation of Christ, who said that he is the only way. And that someone who preaches another gospel, someone who preaches something that is not in line with Scripture, Paul says in Galatians, let him be accursed. And so Paul here in these two verses, has not Israel obeyed the gospel? The answer is no, they haven't. And he said, even Isaiah made the statement, for who hath believed our report? Verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes through Scripture. Salvation is not achieved through philosophy or logical debates. It is not achieved through the works of righteousness. Salvation is achieved through the wonderful gospel. It is achieved by faith. Those who reject the gospel, Paul is arguing, will in fact be accountable for their rejection. Now, he goes on to our next point this morning, and that is this. The gospel must be received by faith. Notice what he says in verse 18. He says, but I say, have they not heard? Again, I apologize. I read that verse earlier. He says, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me, but to Israel. He saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Paul now gets more pointed, if you will, in these verses. He says, did I not, Israel not hear? He says that of course they have heard. They have heard the gospel. Now when we consider these conclusions that Paul is making, and we go all the way back to the opening questions that we looked at last week, that Israel has met all of these conditions. A duly appointed messenger has been sent. The message of the gospel has been preached. Israel understood what was preached, and yet Israel chose, generally speaking, as a nation, to reject the gospel and to remain obstinate in the refusal to believe. That leads Paul to that question in verse 18, did they hear? And he answers adamantly with an emphatic, yes, they have heard. And then he goes on to quote Psalm 19, verse 4, to demonstrate that the gospel message had in fact been proclaimed throughout the entire Roman Empire. Now tonight in our evening service, we'll talk about Psalm 19 and how it relates to these verses, but just very briefly this morning to say that he is not promoting universal salvation by quoting Psalm 19 verse 4. That is not what he's saying. He's simply saying that the gospel has gone forward. It has spread. It has gone throughout the Roman Empire. All have heard the gospel. He's saying that special revelation, the word of God, has been preached, it has been proclaimed. And now, in verses 19 through 21, he comes really to the sad conclusion of this chapter. He says that the reason for the Jews' failure to believe is not because they have not heard, and it is not because they fail to understand. Paul now draws from Moses to answer this question. He quotes for us Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. For sake of time, we won't go back to that chapter this morning, but in Deuteronomy 32, Moses is recounting all the blessings of God, the blessings that God has given to the people of Israel. And notice what God says. He says that first from Moses, I will provoke you to jealousy by them which are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Interesting. The people, Paul says, were made jealous by turning to other gods. And God here is provoking them to jealousy by taking the gospel message to those who were outside of the covenant nation. And he says that I am doing this to bring you back. I am doing this to provoke you to jealousy, that you would return back to me. He says that he is using the gospel going out to the nation, the Gentile nations, to bring them back to repentance, to bring them back into a right relationship with him. God provoked Israel to jealousy over the blessings that now the lost Gentiles were enjoying. And this jealousy was encouraging the Jews to return back to God, to come back to him. And then in verse 20, he goes back to Isaiah and proclaims once again. He says, Isaiah was very bold. I found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. He once again quotes Isaiah, this time chapter 65, verses 1 and 2, that Isaiah boldly or forthrightly spoke of their current condition, that God was revealing himself, he says, not to those who had sought after him. He was revealing himself to the Gentiles, to those that were outside of the nation. Now he gets to the point of what we want to emphasize this morning. He says, but to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Paul here now, in this quote of Isaiah, saying that God has continually held out his hands to the nation of Israel, but yet they have responded with disobedience. They have responded in stubbornness. God holding out his hand is a picture of God welcoming them, inviting them, back into a relationship with him. This invitation is showing God's tender concern for his people. This is a loving and compassionate gesture by the hand of God, and he is reaching out to them, and he says that he is doing so all the day long. It is an expression of God's mercy and his steadfastness. He was reaching out to them, proclaiming them, calling them back into himself, hoping that as the nations, the Gentile nations, they began to receive the blessings of God, and they were seeing that this provoking to jealousy would cause them to repent and to come back into a right relationship with God. And yet instead, he says that they have rather rejected. They have become disobedient. They have become gainsayers. The King James translates it. The idea is they have become obstinate. They have become stubborn. So the problem with the Jews that they had not received the gospel, that they did not believe, did not rest on God. The fact that they had rejected, the fact that they had not entered into the same relationship with God through Christ that the Gentiles were now enjoying, was because they had become obstinate. The people of Israel, Paul says, they were culpable for their choices. They were culpable for staying disobedient. God had graciously held out his hand for his people all the day long, and yet they refused to accept him. They rejected him. They rejected this gospel. Israel had, in a very real sense, merited God's judgment because of their refusal of God's gracious invitation, and they are now fully responsible for their rejection. Paul, in these verses, is arguing that the disobedience on the part of Israel was, in fact, not God's fault. It was inexcusable. The culpability rested with the nation. Now, let's take all those verses today and understand, what does this mean for us? What does this mean to us? How is this applicable to us? Well, we have to, first of all, understand that culpability for the rejection of the gospel never rests on God's shoulders. The culpability rests on us. In these verses, the culpability of one refusing here, the nation of Israel, in a general sense, they were going to be held accountable for their rejection of the gospel. They were going to be held accountable for the fact that they had not received by faith God's repeated mercy and invitation to receive the gospel. Now, we have to also understand that as this applies to us, that as a herald of the gospel, as someone who is a proclaimer of the gospel, we cannot control the response of the hearer. The job of the herald is to proclaim the gospel. It is our job to proclaim the truth, and leaving then that person to either receive the gospel by faith or to reject the gospel in obstinance. The gospel, Paul is saying, must be preached, it must be heard, it must be believed, and it must be responded to in faith to bring one to salvation. Now, last week, we talked a lot about the fact that as a church, as a local body of believers, we are responsible to proclaim the gospel to our community. We are called to obey the commandment to take the good news of Christ to our local community. It's not a call to manipulate people or to manipulate a particular response, but it is a call for us to proclaim the gospel to the lost in our community. Now let's make this personal today, because Paul, in a sense, is addressing a corporate nation. He's addressing the nation of Israel. But how does it apply to us? Well, the first question that we have to answer and reflect on in our own lives is, have you ever accepted the gospel by faith? Have you personally ever come to the place in your life that you have realized that you needed faith in Christ for salvation? Now, we talked a few minutes ago, we quoted Galatians, and it talked about the fact that we have itching ears for another gospel. We have itching ears to believe things that are not based on Scripture. And very often in our world, where the word Christian can be used to mean a lot of different things, that the meaning of the word Christian means that one who has accepted Christ as their Savior, they have a personal relationship with Christ. They have put their faith in Him for salvation. And my friend, that is not accomplished through good works. It is not accomplished through religion. It is not accomplished through going through certain religious activities. In fact, Paul had argued earlier on in Romans 10 that the Jews had tried that. They believed that they had a real passion to keep their law. They had passion to keep their religious ideas. And yet at the end of the day, Paul says that you are not a child of God. You are not in a right relationship with God, but the Gentiles are. You may be religious, you may be doing all of these things, but apart from Christ, apart from faith in Him, there is no hope of salvation. Next week, we will celebrate Easter Sunday. And we will stop and we will take time to remember that on that glorious morning, our Savior rose from the grave. And after rising from the grave, He was seen by many people to demonstrate that, in fact, His rising again from the dead was a real event. And in fact, He then showed Himself to many people to authenticate the fact that He had risen from the grave. So today, as we meet, our hope is not in us. Our hope is not in our works. Our hope is not in our religion. Our hope is founded in our risen Savior. And Paul says that if you, Israel, if you want to have a relationship with God, you must hear the gospel, you must believe the gospel, and you must put your faith in Christ for salvation. And that applies to every person that's sitting in this room today. Have you ever personally responded to the gospel? Have you ever put your faith in Christ alone for salvation? Or are you resting in good works? Or are you resting in your religion or in your own philosophy or in your own ideas? My friend, that's another gospel. There is only one true, genuine gospel. Secondly, this morning, maybe you've put your faith in Christ and you know for sure that you are a child of God. You know for sure that you are in a relationship with God through Christ, and you have settled that, and you know that. But my question to you is this: are you still allowing the gospel to instruct you in your spiritual life? Because very often as Christians, we go, if we're not careful, we fall into this mindset that the gospel is for those people who don't know Christ, they are unsaved, they're not in a relationship with God, and so we're very comfortable when the gospel is preached to the unsaved. But my friend, the gospel is meant to impact you and me every day that we live. Is the gospel changing you? I didn't ask you if the gospel has saved you. I know, and I'm looking around the room, this is a generally speaking normal grace crowd. We got some visitors here today, and I don't know everybody's spiritual condition. I don't know for sure whether or not you have accepted Christ as your Savior or not, but I know the majority of you have. And sometimes when we hear the gospel, we sit back as if this has something to do with simply people that are unsaved. And yet the reality is the gospel should impact us each and every day and should change the way that we live. It's been said that, you know what, you should preach the gospel to the community. And if you have to, use words. The idea is your life should be different and it should be growing and changing into the image of Christ. And that happens through the gospel. Is that changing you? Are you growing in your relationship with God? Or have you become stagnant, believing that, well, I'm on my way to heaven, I have that settled, therefore I can just now live a life that I go through the religious routine and somehow that I'm okay and I'm just going to heaven and I'm just going to bide my time? The gospel says, Jesus said, that if you are my disciple, you, believer, take up your cross every day and you follow me wherever I lead you. And when Jesus said that, that's when a great number of people looked at it and said, that's too hard for me. I'm going the other way because I'm not going to live like that. And might it be that too many Christians that we have settled into our Christianity, and while we are saved, we have become like Israel in this sad description of them at the end of verse 21, that we have become disobedient and obstinate. Israel's rejection was so strong because they refused to admit that they were wrong. They refused to admit that they needed a Savior. They refused to admit that they couldn't save themselves. They became stubborn. They became obstinate. They became so stubborn and defiant to the place that they were willing to spend an eternity separated from God because they were so stubborn. Now, it may be that maybe you are here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you have become stubborn and saying, I'm going to get there on my terms. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it and do religion as I define it. My friends, that's what Israel was doing. And he said, because of their stubbornness, they rejected the truth. And they were going to spend eternity in hell paying for that decision. Now, Christian, what about you? Because we are very good at reading about Israel and looking down our holier-than-thou noses and saying, tisk, tisk. They were so stubborn and they were so difficult and they were so selfish. And we're not. I mean, how often do we look at clear commandments of Scripture that God has said, this is how you should live, and we look at it and we just say, no thanks. I know the Bible says to be loving and kind to people. I know the Bible says to love my enemies. But God, you just don't know what that person did to me. I can't love them. Or you know, God has called me to obey my mom and dad, but you don't know my parents. Or husbands, God has called me to love my wife, sacrifice. Yeah, you don't know what I have to live with. Wives, be subject to your own husband. Treat him with, whoa, respect. Him. You see, we find all kinds of outs on those commandments that we just, God understands because my circumstances are this, my husband is that, my wife is this, my kids are that, my parents are do this, the person that I work with over here, he treats me like this. Therefore, God understands when I treat them like that, I lie to get ahead, I cheat because everybody does. That is being stubborn. When God says, if you are my child, your life should change and the gospel should impact you every single day. And yet Israel, they heard the truth. They understood the truth. And they said, no, thank you. Unbeliever, if you're here today, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you just simply believe, when I die, I will take my chances, and I'm sure God will understand. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That applies to everyone. God is going to ask you someday, when you stand in His presence, why you would spend eternity with Him. And my friend, the only right answer is because I have faith in Christ alone for salvation. And if you're being stubborn about that, my friend, I would lovingly say you're going to spend eternity regretting that decision. Now maybe you're here today and you have put your faith in Christ and you have believed. But as you look at your own walk with Christ and you look at your own relationship with the gospel, that you have become stubborn. That's what the nation of Israel had become. And by the way, a little pressed for time, unfortunately, this morning, but the whole idea of jealousy, we think of jealousy as a negative emotion, and very often it is because it becomes possessiveness, but the idea was that jealousy was going to bring them to the place that they would repent and they would come back to God. And my friend, what is it going to take in your obstinance and in your stubbornness for God to bring you back to a relationship with Him? Because if you are a believer and yet you are refusing to obey God's commandments, you are refusing to obey what He's called you to do, I wonder this morning if you as a believer, if you have become stubborn and you're not following the Lord's direction in your life. God needs faithful heralds. The gospel is the centerpiece of salvation. Apart from the gospel, there is no hope of eternal life. The gospel changes our lives as we live in daily obedience to God's word. And faithful heralds are those that serve as mouthpieces of the life-saving gospel. Paul says, it's the gospel that changes lives. And the question is, how are you going to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ? Let's pray.